age of the Earth is a subject of tremendous scientific interest. The evolutionist assigns millions of years for life to develop to its present form. I'll be back in a moment to talk about the days of creation. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. Well, today we continue our series on questions and answers on the Amazing Facts broadcast. Our listeners have been writing in a great deal during the past month and asking some very interesting questions about certain texts of the Bible. We're trying to answer all of them. We're working just as much as possible into these special broadcasts, questions dealing with things that interest you, our listeners. Now, here's a question that's come to us about the age of the Earth and the evolutionary theory. Now, we've had a great deal to say about this on the broadcast, and this listener wants to know how can we be sure that the days of creation week were not long periods of time, perhaps even 1,000 or more years. Well, this is certainly a good question because there are multitudes of people and many scientific authorities who actually believe that those days of creation week were long geological periods of time. Now, there are a number of reasons why it could not be, and we'll deal with a few of those very briefly in answering this question today. First of all, the Hebrew word for day is the word yom. And throughout the Bible, when this word yom is used in relation to any specific number, such as first, second, or third, it always has reference to a literal solar day. In other words, yom is never used with a numerical designation anywhere else in the Bible except in reference to a 24-hour day. Therefore, it seems reasonable to assume that it's so used in dealing with the first, second, and third days of creation also. Now, in the second place, according to the Bible account, every day of that first week was made up of darkness and light and evening and morning. So whatever length of day that might have been, it was composed of half darkness and half light. I'm sure we can all agree with that. Now, if we suppose that a day was a long geological period or even 1,000 years in length, it would mean that 500 years of it would be light and 500 years would be darkness. Immediately we can see how impossible it would have been for any living vegetation to survive such a long period of darkness. There would have been absolutely nothing left alive at the end of creation week alone. Now, the third reason we know that these were not longer periods and irregular solar days, because the grasses, herbs, and trees were created on the third day and the insects on the fifth day. Now, I'm sure all of us are acquainted with the fact that the bees and insects are absolutely necessary for the process of pollinization, which reproduces the flowers and the grass. Had those days of creation been long periods of time, none of the flowers could have possibly survived until the bees were created on the fifth day. All right, now, I believe that's easy for us to understand. There had to be a very close continuity here between the creation of the insects and the creation of the flowers. All right, in the fourth place, Adam was created on the sixth day and lived through the rest of that day and, of course, the seventh day also of that first week. Now, had those days been long periods of time, Adam would have been many thousands of years old before he died. And yet we're plainly told in the Bible that he was only 930 years of age when he died. So we see that to be consistent with the Bible record, we assume that those days were actual literal solar days of time just as we know them now. In fact, there's no reason to believe that they were any longer in length. Now, one other point that we're noting as we pass along here, and that's concerning the Sabbath day. In Genesis 2:1-3, we read this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made." Now, later in Exodus 20, God actually included the fourth commandment as one of the Ten Commandments. He commanded men to keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And then he goes on to tell why it's the Sabbath of the Lord. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, it would have been completely inconsistent for God to command man to keep every seventh day, every literal seventh day in honor of the creation week, if that work had not been accomplished in 6 literal days. There would have been no meaning at all in resting every seventh day if the work of creation had been accomplished over long geological periods. The reason God commanded man to keep every seventh day was to remember that God had created everything in 6 days. Now, friends, these 5 or 6 strong reasons are quite enough to convince us that the making of this world and its creatures was completed in the first 7 days of literal time. All right, here's the next question. Do you not believe that science and the Bible agree? Why, then, can you not accept the scientific facts of evolution? Well, friends, I do accept all scientific facts and believe that they do agree perfectly with the Bible. It's the misinterpretation of those facts which creates the problem with evolution. The evolutionary scientists ascribed all of the order of our universe to a blind operation of unintelligent force. Just as though I should put all the parts of a fine wristwatch into a box and then shake them up and just keep on shaking until finally they come together and form a beautiful, perfectly operating watch. Now, you and I know that that could never happen, of course. Everyone knows that a watch will not even go together at all without some plan and without the use of energy intelligently directed. Even though all the parts are available and you could just shake it and go on shaking for a year or 100 years or 1,000 years, and still you wouldn't get a watch putting itself together by itself. Take the revolutions of the earth around the sun. If the sun were a little heavier and the earth were traveling no faster than it is now, the earth would be pulled into an elliptical orbit, which would bring it so close to the sun that all life on this earth would be extinguished. Essentially, the same thing would result if the velocity of the earth were decreased. As it is now, the earth is traveling at the rate of about 18.5 miles a second. If it were slowed down to 14 miles a second, we'd be pulled in so close to the sun so as to annihilate life. On the other hand, if the velocity were increased to, let's say, 26 miles a second, the earth would go off into space away from the sun and never return. Strange, isn't it, friends, that our earth should develop just the right velocity to compensate for the sun's pull on the earth, and yet keep us at the right distance so that life continues? Of course, that might have been accidental, but do you really think so? However, almost the same thing is true with respect to the moon that is circling this earth. It maintains an orbit which keeps it the proper distance from the earth. Strange that two accidental happenings should be that closely related, isn't it? Now, a series of accidents begins to look like a master plan, but a master plan would involve a planner, of course, and so that means there has to be a God, a supreme being that regulates and controls all of these tremendous things of nature. Now, one of the important concepts of physical chemistry is that of entropy. Now, you may not understand what that means, friends, but it's a word which actually describes the degree of disorder in a system. One of the principles states that the entropy of a system tends to increase. To use a simple example, if you have a poem set up in type and you shake the type, you get a more disorganized arrangement and not a more sublime poem. Now, you can understand that, of course. In order to get less entropy and a more orderly arrangement, it's necessary to use intelligent force directed into making something better and more organized. Now, if the solar system is disturbed, it will not make a better arrangement, not by itself, but a more disorderly one. But I hear somebody saying, well, time has been limited. Listen, anything can happen if time is given to be a factor and is unlimited. Well, friend, if you believe that, just try shaking a board with a font of type until that type spells out all of Longfellow's poem, for example, Hawatha. Time is no factor, my friend. Just keep on trying, but entropy increases with time. In other words, disorganization increases. Spelling out the poem would be a decrease in entropy and contrary to all scientific principles. This poem is simple compared with the complexities of nature or the human body either. If it can't happen with a poem, how could it happen that the universe is so well organized? What happened to all the unworkable combinations? What about the complex relationships in our body? You take the case of clotting of the blood, for example. If a person's blood does not clot, he has very little chance of survival. Suppose at the same time, or rather at some other time, a man or his predecessor, if we want to accept evolution, suppose that they had no blood clotting mechanism. A minor wound, of course, would cause a man to bleed to death. However, the blood clotting mechanism is a very complex one. And if one step is missing, the blood simply will not clot. It's very, very complicated. The liver has to produce certain substances, and they synthesize with other substances so that the little platelets of the blood begin to congeal and form blood clotting. Now, friends, how did the liver know that it was supposed to produce these different substances to prepare for an emergency it had never experienced before? Let's assume there was a man back there who needed this wonderful process of blood clotting. Maybe this was a process of evolution, and the blood needed to begin clotting so that man could survive. Well, now, how did the liver know that it should start producing these substances that would cause the blood to clot? Suppose these blood platelets should rupture in the arteries and veins and start the clotting reaction. Then what? Provision has been made for this by means of an inhibitor. For every step in the reaction, finally there's a reactive enzyme which becomes activated and begins to dissolve the clot, leaving the clot in an artery, of course, would cause it to cause death to the person. And so that clot has to be dissolved. But how did all of this system of counterbalances come about? A human being could hardly develop this complicated system because if it were not present, the individual would bleed to death if he were just slightly wounded, and if he were not wounded, the series of reactions would not be necessary. So what I'm saying is this, that no individual could anticipate the emergency that would end his life and be able to devise such an elaborate means of counteracting it. So the first man who needed to have blood clotting would have simply died because he would have bled to death and there would be no future generations at all and no opportunity for any kind of evolution to take place even. Well, these are wonderful facts, friends, and they show us really that evolution is not a fact at all. There's nothing proven about it. There's nothing scientific about it at all. It has just been assumed and presumed by men who will not accept the plain teaching of God's Word. The Bible is clear in telling us that man was created in the image of God. He was made upright in the very beginning. There was no process of long evolution over a period of millions or billions of years. No integrating form that's been found between these different families. Every animal falls into a category of a specific family unit, and there's no halfway combinations of the animals. They all belong to one or the other. So evolution is not as scientific as it appears to be. Some of its most fundamental assumptions are diametrically opposed to the very principles of physical science and even of chance. Then why has evolution received such universal acceptance, friends? Well, it's because man has rejected the idea of a creator and has insisted on finding some other explanation which does not involve a supreme being and an admission of a superior intelligence. But may God help us to take the Bible in its simplicity. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.